Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente, and it's Wednesday, June 11th, 2025. And again, very blessed and honored to be so fortunate to have Judge Andrew Napolitano here today speaking on something very important, as he does every week. And essentially how there used to be things called the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that they ripped up, thrown away, and do what they want to do. And now, Judge, again, thanks for being here. And you have an article coming out tomorrow about really what's going on today. And we haven't seen this in a lot of years.
No, I don't think we've seen it in the modern era. Maybe the last time we saw this was when Eisenhower was president. By the this, we're referring to American troops on the streets. There have been instances of American troops on the streets, but that's been with the consent of state governors, which makes it constitutional. Absent the consent of state governors, the only constitutional basis for troops on the street is in case of invasion or rebellion. Invasion is an organized military, foreign military force entering U.S. territory. That's not my definition. That's Congress. That's not the case. Rebellion is collective violence intended to overthrow the government. That's not my definition. That's Congress. That's not the case. When President Trump was asked yesterday in the Oval Office, what's the bar over which events must pass in order for you to send in the Marines? He said, the bar is whatever I want it to be. Well, that is not the case at all. That is a profound thumbing of the nose at the Constitution. That's why I wrote this piece, and I wrote it with anger. I'm still angry this morning that so many people are applauding the use of troops in the streets. If Trump can use, the president can use troops in the street to perform a law enforcement function that the locals are perfectly capable of performing, what's to stop him from using troops for all kinds of other things when the bar is whatever he says it is?
He said, whatever I want it to be, right?
Right.
Heil Hitler.
It's that same attitude, Gerald. No question about it.
And where is the outrage?
I'm dismayed that there is no outrage. I don't know if it's because the people here are dark-skinned and speak Spanish. I don't know what it is, but there is no outrage.
To say something like that, hey, listen, I'll do what I want to do. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I'll do what I want to do. Shove your Constitution up your ass. I don't give a shit. I'm the president. I'm in charge. I'm a little spoiled daddy's boy whose daddy left him over $500 million to the family. A guy born on third base and thought he had a home run. A bad attitude.
Well, that's what we have in the White House right now. There is litigation tomorrow in a federal court in San Francisco. I don't know if the judge has the courage to enjoin the use of the troops. I'm sure this will end up in the Supreme Court unless all the conflagration there dies. Look, the duty of the government is to protect our rights. That includes free speech. The duty of the government is to protect the rights of those who are there to protest these warrantless ICE arrests. I'll say it again, warrantless ICE arrests. ICE is going in and saying, who speaks Spanish? And if they think you speak Spanish, they arrest you.
Yeah.
Even if you're an American citizen, they arrest you. So the situation is deplorable. Even if the situation were amicable, people have the right to free speech. When the government says this is a no free speech zone, it is suppressing the free speech of those who want to challenge the government, because there are some crazies there that do want to cause violence. Those people should be stopped and locked up and prosecuted. But the rest of the people, the overwhelming majority who want to say to ICE, enough is enough, have the absolute unfettered right to do so.
You know, you're right here. Thus, we can see that federalizing of the National Guard, which transforms them into federal troops, actually disables them from performing law enforcement duties, which they could lawfully have performed when under Governor Newsom's command. Moreover, there is no invasion or rebellion as the laws define them, which you said. There is no lawful basis for all these troops on the streets.
You may not think much of Governor Newsom. He's a classic California liberal, but he is the governor. He is the commander in chief of the National Guard. When he commands them, they can engage in law enforcement. They can direct traffic. They can arrest people that whose crimes they observe. They can prosecute the arrest. When Donald Trump commands them, they cannot engage in law enforcement because federal law prohibits using federal troops for law enforcement purposes. I don't even know if he knows that. I'm beginning to think he just sent there because he is the president, as you just said, and he wants to show the power that that he has. I think he relishes the confrontation with Governor Newsom, and Newsom's no saint either. Newsom would relish being arrested because that would increase the confrontation with Trump and make him a hero to all the progressives on the left.
This is going to, by the way, this is going to pump up the popularity of Newsom. Gruesome Newsom, I call him. And another arrogant piece of scum, by the way, when you talk about the Constitution. Hey, I'm in charge. Close down your businesses. Do this. Remember, he was a proponent of the COVID war. It was the first state that locked down.
For everybody but himself.
Yeah. We're having a party up at the, what was that place that?
The French Laundry, the most difficult restaurant to get into in the state of California.
Yeah, it's like $400 a plate.
Yes.
Yeah, an arrogant piece of scum. And now this little slime ball is going to be the leader of the Democrats on who they're going to run for president the next time.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, the people get what they deserve. They'll vote for the person that they want. But the least they can expect is basic compliance with the Constitution. To basically say, I'll make up my own law is to reject the oath that the president took to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and to enforce federal laws faithfully. Madison insisted on the word faithfully in the presidential oath because he quite properly knew there were laws the presidents wouldn't like, but they still have to enforce them. And one of those laws prohibits the use of troops for law enforcement domestically.
You know, by the way, with all due respect, you called Gruesome Newsom a liberal. Here's the definition of liberal. Willing to respect or accept behavior or opinions different from one's own. Open to new ideas.
Well, that does not describe him at all.
And that's what's happening. People are using that term liberal to describe these little low-life pieces of narrow-minded scum on the so-called left. Relating to or denoting a political and social philosophy, you ready? That promotes individual rights, civil liberties, democracy, and free enterprise.
Well, that is the original definition of liberal from which the word libertarian is derived.
Exactly. And you're angry, you said, and I'm angry. And as I keep saying, he who is not angry when there is just cause for anger is immoral. Why? Because anger looks to the good of justice. And if you could live amid injustice without anger, you are immoral as well as unjust. St. Thomas Aquinas,
yes.
And there's no, the people, you know, there's yourself, Scott Ritter, you know, Phil Giraldi, Blumenthal, a bunch of us, we're angry about what's going on. But we're a minority, a very tiny minority. Because what this guy, Trump, did you see how Musk backed down now?
Yes. Yes. Musk is learning the lesson of the Russian oligarchs that tried to use their money to take on Putin. When money confronts power, power wins.
And he's concerned about all these deals he got with the government.
Correct.
All the hundreds of billions of dollars of deals. Judge, when you wrote this article, again, slouching toward authoritarianism, and we're not slouching, it's already happened in front of our eyes.
If you look at the last line of the article, it's not a slouch, it's one giant leap. And a leap toward authoritarianism is probably irreversible.
And look what he's done, what Trump's done to all these universities.
How dare
you speak about genocide? You're an anti-Semite.
How dare you be in favor of a Palestinian state, something that has been the public policy of the United States of America and remains the public policy of the United States since 1948. Say that on the Columbia campus, and Trump will take money away from Columbia University for not silencing you. Now, and that isn't a violation of the First Amendment. I don't know what is.
And they throw the kids out of the country from different countries that are students there for doing it.
Correct.
So authoritarianism has happened. And yes. Again, it's one piece of crap after another. But Trump just makes it more obvious than Biden and Bush and Obama and the Clintons and the others.
Because it's his personality that lusts for this and glories in it. The others would have given more diplomatic answers than the bar is whatever I say it is.
Yep. And Judge, what else is going on that you see of importance?
I think we're very close to war with Iran. Again, Trump, who keeps changing his mind. I mean, last week he told Netanyahu, forget about it. Forget about invading Iran. I'm going to allow them to have a certain amount of uranium enrichment, which every country has the right to do, as long as it's not used for nuclear purposes. Now he's saying, I'm not going to allow any uranium enrichment and we better get ready for war. So he keeps changing his mind. He's probably pressured by the Zionists, even though the principal Zionist, a woman now escaping me, born in Israel, former official of the IDF, American citizen and Israeli citizen, who he appointed to be the head of the Iran-Israel desk. If you can imagine this. An IDF person in charge of the Iran-Israel desk in the National Security Council. He just fired her the other day without giving a reason. However, McGregor tells me that we are very close to war and the 90,000. Did you know there are 90,000 American troops there already? Not in Iran, but surrounding it. The 90,000 troops are on alert. 90,000.
Our money, our taxpayer money going for this crap.
Correct.
Correct. You know, as I said from the beginning, these Iran negotiations were just a front to make it seem like they were doing something and nothing would really happen. And they'll again, look at Trump changing his mind. What do they call him? Taco?
Trump
always chickens out.
Correct. He hates that because of the Mexican implication of Taco and because this assaults his manhood, claiming he chickens out. You know where that Taco nickname originated? Wall Street, amongst the bankers, because of all the tariffs he imposed and then a week later reduced them.
Yeah. And now look what's going on, too, with the Israel war, the genocide war. The United States vetoed the UN resolution last week. This is the cover of the Trends Journal this week. It just went out yesterday.
Right.
U.S. vetoes UN
ceasefire resolution, right? Keep the genocide going. It's the Biden-Trump way. Why was Biden called Genocide Joe and Trump doesn't have that moniker? The killing is actually worse under Trump.
Yeah, Trump, Biden stopped sending the 2,000-pound bombs that Trump said, yeah, keep, you know, keep, is bid the 2,000-pound bombs. Keep destroying Gaza, bomb Lebanon, bomb Syria, do what you want. And now the BS coming out is that Trump is telling Netanyahu to end the war. Right?
It's hard for me to believe, because Trump could end the war with a phone call. Call up Hegseth and say, stop all the, we sent 3 cargo planes a day to Israel. Stop those planes. No more equipment. Bibi, stop the war, or you won't have any of our support. We're sending enough food, water, and medicine to take care of anybody in Gaza. Don't you lay a finger on my guys when they're delivering it. That's what Trump should do.
He's not going to do it.
No.
Again, they veto the ceasefire agreement. Clear in front of everybody's eyes. No news about it. But when that happened, Judge, it was buried in the toilet paper or record, the New York Times.
Yes.
Buried.
Yes.
It's not news. And so this, and then you were talking about 90,000 troops in the Middle East.
Yes.
You know, I launched Occupy Peace over a decade ago. And of course, you've been a speaker here dozens of times. And one of the foundations of Occupy Peace, close the bases overseas.
Yeah.
And no business being there. Bring home the troops, secure the homeland with them, and put them to work rebuilding our third world infrastructure. Yeah, everywhere I go, boom, 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 the roads. It's a joke.
Drive on 9th Avenue in Manhattan. You need a tank. If you're in a car service trying to read your iPhone, it's impossible. You need a tank. That's how bad the roads are.
Yeah. And how about
the Route 80, which goes from New Jersey to California, isn't much better.
No. The throwway over here, it's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke. A sick joke. As they're stealing what? $1 trillion.
Gerald, the phrase 1 trillion sounds so nice to the president's ears. What is that? That's the budget for the Defense Department in the so-called big, beautiful bill. $1 trillion a year. According to McGregor, it could be shaved down to a quarter of that without impairing national security.
Yeah. Again, bring home the troops, secure the homeland, end of the story. Oh, look at this stupid crap with this golden dome.
First of all, it would, according to Professor Theodore Postol of MIT, you know what it would cost? $40 trillion to build. These people are crazy. Ian Postol says it would take 10 or 15 or 20 years.
And a waste of money.
Correct.
A waste of money. It's with New Millennium Warfare. It's a whole different deal. Judge, thank you for all that you're doing. Everybody that wants to know what in the world is going on in geopolitics that you're not going to hear anywhere else, you got to go to Judging Freedom.
Today, Colonel Douglas McGregor and our friend from the Ron Paul Institute, Dan McAdams.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah.
Judge, thank you so much for all that you do. Thanks for being on. And everybody, do what you can do to help bring peace on earth. Goodwill to all. Because
thank you,
if you unite for peace, it's going to be the end of life on earth. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, my dear friend.